Williams, deep to Romo Tuesday. Touchdown Bears.
Yo, Will, put it back in your pants, dude. What the fuck are you doing?
Welcome into today's episode of Walk the Pine NFL Draft Recap. Probably the best draft night experience of my life.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had a great night.
Smiles across my face the whole weekend. Really.
Nails painted.
Nails painted, bear down. I got the silver thumbs for Caleb in ode to his draft night nail painting experience.
It's been really funny to watch this guy walk around managing the bar with his little shiny thumbs.
I have not managed yet with the thumbs.
Starbucks.
Yeah, whatever. He's still there. He still walks around everywhere else with the shiny thumbs.
No, yeah. I did serve some tables last night. Got a few questions about the nails. And then I did have to explain to myself. the Bears drafted a quarterback who paints his nails. And I did the same damn thing to support him. And they're like, wow, your commitment's pretty high. I was like, you have no idea how much of a fucking nutcase I am. Like,
yeah, that's true. No one has
idea the pain that has dawned on my life from that franchise who is finally putting a smile on my face.
And so he painted his nails for it.
I'd wear a fucking dress if I have to, baby. I don't give a shit. Bring in the Super Bowls. Caleb Williams.
Honestly, I'll wear a dress for
his time. Reign in Chicago starts now. That's what I would say if he threw his first touchdown pass. If I was like a play-by-play announcer, that's what I would say. I'd be like, the Caleb Williams reign over the city of Chicago began just now. And then he crowns himself on the field.
Are you sure you don't run down there and crown him? Or
I would yourself? Yeah, get arrested for that. My third arrest twice in a year.
Just getting stuffed.
As long as you don't have any weight claws, you'll be all right.
Dude, cuffed and stuffed, Will G. It's better than being stuffed and cuffed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the draft was a pretty legendary day.
Legendary day. Let's get right into the recap, Gabe.
Yep. Hey, wait, I do want to say this, though. Top five like coolest names ever. This is actually what I wanted to say. Who's got the coolest last name on the Bears now? Because I don't think it's anymore. I think it's up for debate now. I think it is.
You think it's Romo Odunze?
Odunze is the coolest name ever.
Romo Odunze.
Well, I mean, Rome is his first name. I'm saying strict last. Well, I mean, full names, yeah. Sweet name, but like I'm saying, like who's got the coolest last name? Odunze is so cool.
Well, okay, there's a few options.
You also got Moore, which is pretty cool. You know, Moore is always a cool one.
If they bring back my boy Yannick Ngakoue,
okay,
that's Ngakoue is such a cool last name.
Maybe that is cool. That is cool. Montez Sweat
last the Sweat brothers. People were talking about the Bears drafting Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, and they're like, we could have the Sweat brothers. The sun god, it's a very cool name. We did have his brother, Equanimeous St. Brown, who is no longer.
I mean, if it was the first name thing, then Equanimeous would win, but it's not.
You think I would take Amon-Ra over Equanimeous?
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra means
sun god. My name's
Amon-Ra.
Sun god.
My name is Amon-Ra.
And I've told you the story about how psychotic their dad is, right? You know their last name was just Brown.
Put Saint in there.
You put Saint in there on their birth certificates, all of them.
That's so cool.
That's hard, bro.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Because he was like, it's gonna. This literally his reasoning was like, it's gonna look so cool on the back of a uniform instead of just brown.
That's sick.
He threw Saint on the fucking birth certificate.
That's sick. That's sick. I think it's cool with
Amon-Ra and Equanimeous.
Whatever he was doing, work.
And his name's just name. I think is just Jonathan Brown.
Sounds like a LeVar Ball, and that guy's also so cool. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few of those dads. Caleb Williams' dad, not on that level, but in the terms of like breeding superstars, that's Caleb Williams'
let's
father.
Let's talk about it, eh? Caleb Williams at the one. We all knew it was coming.
We did.
Did you have any slight doubts? Maybe the Bears are gonna do this or that. Or...
No, I've already spoken about how you know the NFL draft is for me. I think it's the second biggest spectacle to watch in the NFL.
Super Bowl.
Besides the Super Bowl, Maybe, I mean, I get more excited for the NFL draft than I do the Super Bowl, but it's just because my team's not playing.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know how I would react if my team was like the day, like even like the day before the Super Bowl, I don't know what I would do. Like, you think about me, think, like you guys, like think about how I am. Like, you guys would not even know the light of day of what I go through.
Oh my goodness.
Like, my mind would be racing a million miles per hour. It would be.
Our ears would fall off for how much he'd be talking about it.
I don't even
dude, I'm already at that point.
I think I'd be so nervous, like I would just like just be silent.
The city would be popping.
Yeah, it would be good. Expect it to come.
I'm actually like most excited about the city. Like, I'm just so excited to see how the city is. Like, working for Bears game is gonna be awesome. Going to the Bears games are gonna be awesome. Being in the city when the Bears are good, potentially, ideally, at a parade one day. New stadium in 4 years, 5 years. I mean, come on. Like, that's what I'm...
Chicago.
So that's
bad.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
City's going to be popular.
Yeah. And by then, the Hawks are going to be sick, too.
But, yeah.
Maybe we'll get a new United Center soon.
Back to the question at hand. The NFL told Ryan Poles, wait 5 minutes before turning in your pick. You know, if it was up to Ryan Poles the second that he was on the clock, he would have submitted his card. I'm sitting there, 5 minutes go off the clock and the pick's not in. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, there's like, of course you know what the pick is going to be. But just being a Bears fan, there's just always that subtle doubt in your mind. Like, if they say any other name right now, what's my reaction going to be?
TV is falling off the wall.
Oh, dude, I already told my dad. I said, put in the pre-order. Like, now, get lined up for a new 65-inch in the garage because you're not going to have one in 30 seconds if they say anything else. So I got somebody hugging me. My dad's friends, like, hugging me fucking tightly as he's announcing the pick so I don't go break the TV. Say Caleb Williams. It's just kind of like high fives, hugs, and smiles, you know. Romo Odunze is where we got geared up. The garage went nuts when we drafted Romo Odunze.
Five quarterbacks.
I mean, it had to be.
Did I not say that? Six in the top 12. Six in the top 12. Yes. Never happened in the history of the NFL. Yep. And I sat there on that couch and I told you guys this last week. We are in store for a historic draft night. No defensive player selected until pick 15. Never in the history of the NFL has that happened. I knew it was going to be historic, and it was.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I did want to ask you about some of the things that I found to be most surprising. What was your feeling when the Falcons went ahead and took a quarterback?
Nuts. Absolutely stunned. Out of my mind stunned. You just gave Kirk Cousins a
lot of money.
$100 million of that contract is guaranteed. You have no choice but to pay him $100 million over 4 years. And it's even more. You know, that only comes out to like $25 million a year. He's making, I want to say, $45 million a year. $40 million, or maybe a little over 40, north of $40 million a year over the next 4 years. And that's what stunned me the most about the selection. Okay, you want to take a quarterback there? Fine. You want to, you know, look at this Packers model of sitting a quarterback for 3 years and letting him learn from a veteran player who's playing, you know, in that back end of his prime. You can learn a lot from him. Why do you take Michael Penix Jr., who is 25 years old, the oldest quarterback in the draft? Explain that to me. I don't think he's 25. Is he 24? Let me fact check that real quick. Regardless, he's not young. He is not a young quarterback.
Are the Falcons getting some Kirk Cousins insurance with this pick, man?
I mean, he's coming off the Achilles from last year, but he should be good to go.
Achilles is pops up.
He's 24 years old. So at the end of his contract, at the end of Kirk Cousins' contract, Michael Penix will be 28 years old. Make that make sense. Why would you not take J.J. McCarthy, who's 21, can sit for 3 years, be 24 when he starts playing football, and is arguably the biggest project with the highest ceiling? Like, J.J. McCarthy does have a high ceiling, but he needs a shit ton of work because of his lack of reps at Michigan. But he was running a pro-style offense. I don't know how you don't go McCarthy there if you're not going quarter, if you're going quarterback. Going quarterback was the most stunning part to begin with.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning part to begin with.
But we got Romo Dunze out of it.
So they announced that Schefter saying, whoa, he gets on TV. This could be a quarterback. I'm like, holy shit. Are they at, like, 1 through 7, picks 1 through 7, no surprises. Pick 7 was a little bit of a surprise. I thought J.C. Latham was a little bit of a reach there. But you hear, them go, fucking Michael Penix Jr., you're sitting there with your jaw. My jaw dropped right there. I was like, what the fuck did I just witness? And that's why the draft is what it is. It's beautiful. It's a spectacle. It's reality TV of the highest order. And it's awesome to watch. So I don't like the move. I don't like the move from them. I think Michael Penix at 8 was a reach. I don't think he's a top 10 pick. I don't think J.J. McCarthy should have been a top 10 pick. I don't think Bo Nix should have been a top 10 pick. I don't think any of those guys were worth the value of a top 10 pick in the grand scheme of things. Now you talk about them. They are quarterbacks. Their value is always going to be higher. Quarterbacks are always, I don't think, in the terms of the draft board based on prospect, I would have taken Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Alu Fashanu, Romo Dunze, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, all over Jaden Daniels, who went number 2, and over Drake May. They are better prospects than those quarterbacks, but the quarterback is a need. They're the best, second best quarterback in the draft. That's why they're actually going number 2. So, yeah, that was by far my biggest stunner of the draft. I think a few other things that stood out to me was Jackson Powers Johnson falling out of the first round. I thought he was by far the best center, and he fell to like the mid-40s. He should have been, teams should have been on the phone calling up to trade up and draft Jackson Powers Johnson at the end of the first round, let alone the beginning of the second round. And he slipped to the mid-second. Another surprising move from this weekend's draft, in my eyes.
How about our fourth round pick?
Went ahead, Troy Taylor,
Hunter. Yeah.
So in the heat of the moment, people are upset about this. And at the moment, I kind of was like, Austin Booker is still sitting there, and I really wanted us to draft Austin Booker. So I was like, okay, we're going up there to make the selection. Bears are going to draft Austin Booker. And they didn't. They took a punter. And it was funny because, you know, like in picks 4 through 7, they always have like fans go up and announce. It was one of our international fans, a British fan, went up and announced the pick. So he's got this accent and he's like, Troy Taylor, punter, Iowa. Troy Taylor is Australian. So it's just like funny. We got all these accents going at once in the NFL draft.
It's kind of like picking Justin Tucker early in a fantasy draft.
That's the thing about this kid, though, is he is legit.
Yeah.
He was Iowa's biggest weapon. People were even talking about throwing him in the Heisman conversation. That's how good of a punter this kid is. This dude can put you inside the 5-yard line, pin him down in the corner, no problem whatsoever. And that is an absolute weapon. You don't know how massive that field position matters. It is so important. Imagine you, you're struggling on offense, but you continue to pin them down. You punt. You pin them down inside the 5. They got to go 95 yards on a top 10 defense to score points. And then let's say they don't get anything out of that. They're going to punt the ball to you, and you're going to have the ball at the 40 fucking yard line with great field position. And it's so easy to go score. With the offensive weapons that you have, if you need to punt, you've got a weapon in a punter who can pin this team deep. It's going to help the offense. It's going to help the defense. It was an overall great move, I think, because this kid is legit. He might, like, obviously he's not the most important pick, but it might be the best player that the Bears drafted. Like, that's how good of a punter he is. If punters were considered first-round picks, he could have gone 1.1. Like, this kid is legit. He could immediately come in, and some are saying this. I have no idea. I don't know. Like, I'm not sitting there watching punter tape. I've watched, I did watch a 10-minute highlight reel of his after I did that, but some are saying he could come in and be the best punter day one. He's got a cannon of a leg. He can punt the ball 60 yards, and he has insane accuracy that can pin you down in the on your 1 yard line, no problem. It's going to be fun to watch this kid play football. So I like the selection. And then I'm like, damn, I really wanted Austin Booker, but this punter kid's pretty cool. Bam, Bears out of picks, trade back in, draft Austin Booker, who I am calling the next Max Crosby.
Ooh.
He's got the motor like you could not believe. He's angry. He's furious. He's fast. He's lean. He like all he needs work on is his technique. He's raw. His technique's not fully there yet. But when you have someone who's got the drive of a kid like that and the energy and the size, you know, you add a little more of that NFL weight, 15 to 20 pounds, and you keep that motor going, this kid's going to be a very scary player in the NFL, I think. I'm super excited about watching him after his tape. He performed in the Senior Bowl. He was running over first-round offensive tackles, no problem. Zero issue whatsoever. Just pile-driving those guys. So I love the Bears draft. There's a few other drafts. You know, I think overall the NFC North did pretty solid. I'd probably give the edge to the Lions outside of the Bears. I think getting Terrion Arnold at, what was it, 24 was great value. I thought he should have been a top 15 pick. He's a very, very good defensive back who is going to cause problems, I think, for the Chicago Bears. But that's what they needed. They needed defense, especially now that you add this three-headed monster in Chicago with Caleb Williams throwing them the football. Teams are going to need defensive backs. Like, that's going to be a focal point. And Terrion Arnold's a good one. So I thought Detroit did very well. And if I'm being honest, I know, like, any team could have ended up with these two players as their picks at the value that they took them, and I would have laughed at them for it. I think the Minnesota Vikings had a horrible first round. I do not think J.J. McCarthy is a good quarterback, and this is my problem. I think J.J. McCarthy needs 2 years. 2 years to be riding the bench and strictly learning. Now, I don't know shit. You know, no, nobody knows shit at the end of the day. You can fucking say all you want about these prospects. You don't know. Because when they get to the league, they can perform at a very high level, and you didn't even see it coming. Or you could say this guy is the best thing since fucking, I don't know, sliced bread, and this guy could come to the NFL and suck. You don't know. You don't. But I hated both of their picks. I think that J.J. McCarthy needs 2 years to sit on the bench before stepping on the field. That's not going to happen in Minnesota. They've got Sam Darnold.
Was there really a time where people didn't slice their bread and they were just eating bread?
Probably, yeah. Before knives.
Eat it. They didn't even like break it.
Well, they would rip it. Yeah, they would rip it. That's not sliced.
Okay.
No, yeah, but on the grand scheme of things, I like Kevin O'Connell as a play caller, and he's got great weapons. Like J.J. McCarthy has the weapons to succeed. So that also, like, you know, it's kind of like a counterpoint to my point. You know, he's going into a great situation though. That's the thing, but I just don't know if he was running a pro styled offense, but I just don't know if he has the passing numbers to get over that net, like, or the reps to get over that hump. So I think it could be a few rough years for J.J. McCarthy. And I hated Dallas Turner. I did not want to touch Dallas Turner. People were asking if I wanted the Bears to take Dallas Turner at 9. No fucking chance. I think he has one move. I think he's limited. Yeah, he's a freak of nature. Yeah, he's a freak athlete, but I think he's a very limited pass rusher. And I think when you put him up against NFL left tackles, you're going to see that. I don't have any faith in Dallas Turner to turn out to be good. I think he's not necessarily a bust because he was like pick 17, but I didn't like the pick. I didn't like either of their picks. I'm, you know, probably going to get classified as a Bear or a Vikings hater because I do hate the Vikings, but I would have told you that if any team fucking.
Because I am.
Well, yeah, I am a Vikings hater, but I would have told you that before the draft. I didn't want to touch J.J. McCarthy with a 10-foot pole, and I did not want to touch Dallas Turner with a 10-foot pole. Like, I didn't want either of those guys. I didn't like either of those guys. I wanted nothing to do with them. So, yeah, I mean, I was very happy when I heard Dallas Turner's name called. I was like, that doesn't worry me one bit. I was like, I'm very happy that's not Jared Verse. So, yeah. That's pretty much kind of like my breakdown on what went down with in the NFC. I think there's a few other teams that had some good drafts, but I don't know. I was so caught up in the fucking moment of Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze and all of that, that it was very hard for me to kind of focus on anything else. So I still have a lot of deep diving to do. I loved what Philadelphia did. They completely improved their secondary, getting Nate Wiggins. They drafted, I think, Quinyon Mitchell. And, they drafted Quinyon Mitchell, I think. And then Cooper DeJean, you know, the white cornerback. Probably going to be the first starting white cornerback since, I want to say, 2005. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for September to be here. I'm already ready for rookie minicamp to roll around, which I think starts this weekend. So I'm fired up, dude. I'm all the way in.
Yeah, what about Roger Goodell saying that he wants to get rid of the preseason? Are you with it?
I don't like that, no.
Why?
It's kind of cool. I think that the best way to solidify your 53-man roster and to get into – I don't think there needs to be four preseason games. Well, there's only three now, but I don't even think there needs to be three preseason games. I would say two games is fair. You get the Hall of Fame game like the Bears do this year, then you play three games. Some teams used to have to play five preseason games, and I thought that was just a little much. But, yeah, I think you drop it down to two games because it's so hard. You know, you have to cut down your roster from 95 players to 52. You have to cut half your roster, which you know who is going to make the roster. Like, you probably know 80% of the players who are going to – probably more. 85, 90% of who's going to be rostered come – you know, I think the cutoff date is, like, late August. But that last 10% that you need to fill of the roster – last 10 to 15% of the roster that you need to fill, preseason plays a huge part in that. And you need to see how these guys can play in a game experience. So, no, I think it also just helps people gear up for the season, get motion going, you know, get into the swing of things. I think the preseason's good. But I get what he's saying. Like, yeah, I would rather watch a fucking regular season game than a preseason game too. But I enjoy watching the full preseason game because these are players that are dying to make a roster, fighting to make a roster. And I like just enjoy watching who's good. All right, so who can I rely on? You know, I mean, I already know probably like a lot of the guys who are going to be rostered, but those last few spots I enjoy seeing, like, can I trust this guy to come in and make a play when he needs to, when he's called upon? So I enjoy the preseason. I think actually getting rid of the entire thing in general is impossible.
It's impossible for any sport. You need to be able to see your team before.
Of course, the players need to get into the motion of things, and that's a good way to do it. No, I don't think they need to play three preseason games. No, I don't think they need to play four preseason games.
Yeah, give them two games.
We're going to be moving. I don't know how long it's going to be, but after hearing Goodell talk about the 18-game season and two bye weeks, I think we're going to be at that point in the next 10 years. 18 games, two bye weeks throughout the year.
That's cool.
I think we're going to have a very – they're going to elongate the NFL season as much as they possibly can. So, I don't know. I'm excited. Ready for September. Ready for me to get this thing rolling. And let's wrap it up there, boys. Good conversation. Good talks. That's my recap of the NFL draft.
Peace. Let's go Bears.
Go Bears.